We're going to continue our look and examination of the life of Caleb. This comes from a series that we'd begun some time back. I think this is probably about the 13th message or so, maybe a couple more really, on some Old Testament personalities and some principles we can learn from them. And so adapted from a number of different sources to put together a series. It's hard to preach a one message on, as we've seen already, on just one spiritual character that has so much coverage in the Old Testament. But we've been looking at the life of Caleb, and there's been much to learn from him that teaches us about what the essence of true faith is. In the Exchange Series seminar that we just had last week, and many of you have heard of this before, one of the examples, the illustrations that Jeff would use, as others have used to explain faith, was concerning a man by the name of Blondine, I think was his name, is that correct? Blondine, and he was known for doing some pretty traumatic things. He in an extravagant and diligent, but also a treacherous way, would tightrope walk across the Niagara Falls. So maybe you've heard this before. Not something I would ever sign up to do. Not interested. Plenty of other things in the world to do than tightrope walk across death. But he was known for doing this. This is many, many years ago. And he was good at this. He was known for it. There were crowds that would come from everywhere to watch. And he would always, like most folks in this field of entertainment, was always anteing up the next thing. And so his next thing that he would do is he was planning to go across the Niagara Falls on a tight rope with a wheelbarrow. And he planned to have somebody inside the wheelbarrow that he was pushing across Niagara Falls. Second thing I would never sign up to do is ride in a wheelbarrow, even the best at this tightrope walking. And so as I have been led to believe and understand, I don't know that you could credit this source specifically and accurately, but at one point in time, the crowd is gathered. They're so excited. They wanted to see him do this. They wanted to see him push a person in a wheelbarrow across. And it has been said that Blondine would shout out to the crowd, "Who believes I can do this?" And the crowd is, "Yes, we believe, you can do this, you can do this." And then he said, "All right, well, who would like to volunteer to ride in the wheelbarrow since you all believe I can do this?" And he allegedly pointed out a man in the crowd and said, "You, come on up here, get in the wheelbarrow." And, of course, nobody ran up there. In fact, it said that the man that was asked turned and bolted the other way, right? That's the third thing I would do is bolt at the opportunity at that. It's kind of a helpful way to give us an illustration of what true faith is not. Because when we looked at Caleb and we looked at what faith and the essence of true faith is, I encouraged you and suggested to you that many believers profess faith in God, profess trusting in God. But when it comes to the wheelbarrow on the rope, it's, nope, someone else. That's too much. I'm not going to put this faith into action. That's a silly illustration, but you get the point. It's a willful choice to put faith and trust into action and a move in that action. We see that in the life of Caleb. I think there's plenty of believers today who would readily say they have faith in God. But I think there is a whole other level, as I reminded you last time, there's a whole other level in which Christians lack true daily faith in God. I'm talking about Christians who profess faith in God but don't allow that faith to move them from, as I said last 2 weeks ago, from profession to progression. And there's a difference there, and it's helpful for us to understand this and grasp what this is. The essence of faith is captured by the author of Hebrews. So by way of review, because this is part two of 2 weeks ago, the essence of true faith, let me remind you a passage we read last time. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it to you. God's word there says, "By faith Abraham, when he called when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. Folks, I suggested to you before, and I think as we examine the life of Caleb and finish examining that tonight, I think that you will also see, and I believe God wants us to know, that faith is taking God at his word. Any claim to faith apart from that is something else wholly different than faith, true essence of faith. Faith, rather, is taking God at his word. When God says he will do something, my faith is believing that he will do what he says he'll do. So how does taking God at his word impact the life of a believer? How does it impact the life around us? We saw a little bit of how Caleb's faith in God impacted people around him. So we're going to look at that yet again. It's this kind of faith that marks the life of Caleb. And as a result of his faith, God said this of him in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 36. Forever recorded in scriptures is what God said about Caleb. He hath wholly followed the Lord. Oh, to have that said of us, right? He or she hath completely followed the Lord. This is what was said about Caleb, so there's much for us to learn about him. Let's ask for the Lord's guidance and blessing as we wrap up this study. Father, thank you for Caleb, the example in his life. Thank you for others as well. We thank you for those in this congregation that have demonstrated a sound and faithful trust in you. Lord, thank you for examples of those who seem to have an almost unwavering faith in life. Help us to truly come to understand and put into practice on purpose genuine faith in our daily living. And also tonight, may we see the reach, the ripple effect of our true faith in you to others around us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, a little bit of review. Last time together, 2 weeks ago tonight, we looked in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 24, where the scriptures state concerning Caleb that he had the scripture says, a different spirit. This is Caleb. He had a different spirit than others. And because of this, God used him mightily and he honored him greatly for this faith. And so we're going to continue to scrutinize the life of faithful Caleb and learn much from his true faith. We looked firstly, remember, number one, standing at the door of blessing. And so we picked up where the Israelites are standing, ready to enter into the promised land. They were doubtful. They were fearful. And although Israel never ceased from believing in God, they had their seasons of difficulty in trusting God. We see this as we read through the Old Testament. We see this in our own lives from time to time. So the Israelites were doubtful. They sent in spies to go through and to look out through the land in preparation for their entrance. And it was noted in Scripture in Numbers 13 and in verse 2, I believe. It's noted in Scripture that this is the land which I give unto the children of Israel. The outcome was certain. The outcome was sure because God was the author of the outcome. And they knew this, and Caleb pointed this out. God had promised to give them the land. They had nothing to fear. But of course, you remember, it seems that Caleb is the only one at this point who can be seen beyond the obstacles and keep the Lord in view. Joshua would have been there with him, but scriptures only record Caleb's defense of following the Lord. His report is the only exhortation recorded that is for the people to trust and obey the Lord's deliverance. And then we move forward and we looked more at the historical account of Caleb's life. We saw that faith is the victory. Faith is a victory. We sing this. Even though they have seen God work miracle after miracle during the exodus from Egypt through the wilderness wandering, Israel still does not follow and trust God faithfully and completely. they continue to lack in faith. They were self-focused as opposed to their Savior focused. In Numbers chapter 14, in verses 1 and 2, let me just remind you, Scripture says, "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night." Verse 2, Numbers 14, "And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness." People were murmuring. They were so focused on the effects on them in life and what they perceived and what they saw. I pointed out last time also, you may remember, I wanted you to remember this, and that is when it comes to fear, fear often looks around itself and becomes overwhelmed, doesn't it? We see that when we live and we act in the moment of fear. It's looking at everything around us and being completely overwhelmed by the circumstance or the enemy or whatever we are facing. Whereas on the other hand, as we've seen exhibited in Caleb's life, for example, faith looks at God and overcomes whatever circumstance we are facing, or deals with whatever circumstance God allows to enter our life by trusting it is from Him or meant for our good. So faith is not a feeling, do you remember? It's not some unattainable, oh, only some special people got it and some people don't. I think there are definitely folks that seem to be able to exhibit by God's grace a stronger, more consistent spirit of faith. I think we can see that in the body of Christ, and that's encouraging to others. I think 1 Corinthians 12 shows us that. But faith is not a feeling. It is a choice. These are the words I used last time. Faith, rather, is a choice that is often made. Faith is a choice that is often made by a believer. It is a decision to take God at His word and place more value on what He says than how things look from my perspective, from where I'm sitting. It's not looking at what we can do for God, but rather what God says He will do and trusting that He will do that. So different than Caleb's response, Israel reacted in fear. You saw that. Just read two verses from the first part of chapter 14. In Numbers 14, verses 22 through 35, we see that the people suffered as a consequence of their choice of faithlessness. Their lacking in faith brought about consequences. In this case, there were many plagues that they experienced. We're going to look at those now tonight. But Caleb, rather, is credited in verse 24 with having another spirit. What is that spirit? It's not another spirit like he was some abnormal superhero. What that spirit was is that it was a spirit of trust in God. Faith, and it wasn't even like what some would say, a blind faith. It wasn't like, I trust God so much that no matter what happens, I have no idea what's going to happen, I trust Him. It was a little bit different in a sense than we see described with Abraham, who moved when God said to move and didn't know how it was going to work. In Caleb's case and in Israel's case, God clearly told him, I will give you this land. This land is yours. Go and take it. And they had no reason to doubt Him before, yet they were overcome with fear. Caleb was credited with this type of a spirit of trust, and with following the Lord fully. We ended last time by looking at the choices that we make and working to remind each and every one of us, each other, that the choices we make always affect in one way or another those around us. Often those who are closest to us. So the question was, do you trust God's faithfulness in the situations of life that the Lord has you in right now? Now we're caught up to speed. That was our refresher course. And this won't be long. Well, we can see thirdly, in this examination of Caleb's life, thirdly, that Caleb was honored honored for faith and faithfulness. There's a difference there. Caleb was honored for faith and for faithfulness. And we too can exhibit that as well. Nearly 40 years in the wilderness had now passed. This is where we're picking up on Caleb's life this evening. And plague after plague had befallen Israel because of their rebellion and because of their disobedience. But had Israel finally, through these disciplines of the Lord, through these plagues in the Lord for their disobedience, did they finally come to the point that they were learning to follow God? Let's see. Come to chapter 25. Numbers 25. And notice with me what God's word says about Israel's point in time now and their response to whether or not they learned to follow God yet. Numbers 25, and I want you to notice, please, the first three verses. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people begun to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods. Notice little g. These are idols, false gods. And the people did eat and bow down to their gods. These are these pagan idols. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And justly so. Holy God was offended by Israel's rejection of trusting him. What's happening here, to use the text words, this is what God's word said. Israel was playing the harlot with the people of Moab. They were worshiping Baal with them. And then in verses 4 and 5, notice, and the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay ye every one his men that were joined unto Baal Peor. God's justice was to be carried out for their choice and disobedience. Look at verse 9, same chapter. And those that died in the plague were 24,000 who rejected God, who violated God's law, who defiled a holy God, who offended a righteous and just holy God. God tells Moses in verses 4, 5, and 9 of chapter 25 to execute the leaders of the people in broad daylight for everyone to see. 24,000 die in this plague of judgment. Why? Because of their choice to completely turn their backs on God and worship a pagan idol, Baal. Israel had not learned. But don't miss who are left of the men. Notice in chapter 26, in verse 63 through 65, notice there were some. There were two, Caleb and Joshua. These are they that were numbered by Moses and Eleazar, the priest who numbered the children of Israel in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho. But among these, there was not a man of them whom Moses and Aaron the priest numbered when they numbered the children of Israel in the wilderness of Sinai. For the Lord had said of them, they shall surely die in the wilderness, and there was not left a man of them, save, who's the person there? Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun, save two men of all, two men who remained faithful and trusting God out of these 24,000 that died. Don't miss this. God here is certainly faithful. God remains holy and just. God had fulfilled his promise that the men would die in the wilderness. God always keeps his word. Here is a negative, from a human perspective, testimony of God keeping his word. A word that they knew clearly. A word that they knew they were violating by their choice. Then in Numbers 27, we see Joshua commissioned before the congregation. He was commissioned as Moses' replacement, you remember this, to lead them into the promised land. And then new leaders were identified amongst the congregation of the Israelites for each of the 12 tribes. And then once again, we see Caleb surface in the story again. We see Caleb as the representative of the tribe of Judah in Numbers 34, verses 18 and 19. Caleb is mentioned again, and he's named as a representative of this tribe. By the way, according to Joshua 14 and verse 7, he was, guess how many years old now? 40 years old when he spied on the land. That's back when he spied on land, 40 years old, just a young guy. Okay. Thus he was 78 when Joshua was commissioned as the new leader. So here we're picking this up at about 78 years old. So let's consider Caleb's life for a moment. Humanly speaking, Caleb was well beyond the age of military service. I mean, when is the last time you've seen a 78-year-old on the battlefield, right? But God had honored Caleb's faith. And here, at age 78, he prepares to lead his tribe into Canaan to fight for the new land. I like this guy. Faithful and ready to fight. Kind of the attitude of, hey, if I'm still breathing, I can still serve, right? This was faithful Caleb, appointed to lead and ready to go. I could just see him sharpening his sword. Are we ready yet? Let's do this, right? God had honored the faith of Caleb and his faith put in action to faithfulness over the years. And this honoring as he was named, commissioned as a new leader and leading the tribe of Judah and preparing for battle, Numbers 34, 18 and 19. He was honored for faith and faithfulness. God is in the business of doing that today as well. God honors those who remain faithful to him. God stands with those who are faithful to stand with him. Faithfulness in the service of our Lord is never missed and it is never overlooked. Sure, by people. Some by ill intent and intentional overlooking for selfish reasons. Some because it's just missed humanly. But check this. God never misses the accounting of your faithfulness to him. He always sees that. Here, Caleb, we see in his life at this age, is honored for faith and faithfulness. Lastly, we see some results of following the Lord. Notice the results in Caleb's life as we examine this faithful servant. Notice the results of following the Lord. Although as a leader of the 12 tribes, of one of the 12 tribes, Judah rather, Caleb would have been in the thick of each battle. I told my boys we were going to talk about battle tonight, right? Caleb would have been in the thick of the battle, fighting and leading the charge and giving commands and being armed himself. But we don't see him mentioned by name until we get to Joshua 14 as we look through the track record of the mentions of Caleb. In Joshua 14 is where we see him again next. And as Joshua begins to divide the land, Caleb speaks up. He raises his hand. He speaks. I don't know if he raised his hand, but he speaks up and he reminds their leader, Joshua, of what God had said 45 years earlier. He reminds Joshua, and of course, those in the presence of his voice, he reminds them. Remember what God had promised Caleb at the beginning of the wilderness journey? Come over to Deuteronomy and notice this. Just one book to the right, next over, Deuteronomy. Excuse me, Deuteronomy chapter 1. And notice what God had promised to them. By the way, before we get there, I can't help but remember and be thankful for you folks that speak up in remembrance of what God has done. There is lasting impact in the life of other believers when you open your mouth and you speak to, hey, remember what God did? Remember how God took care of us? Remember what God said? Remember how God led us through this? That's huge. That's huge. Stay vocal and reminding yourselves and me and others of what God has done. Let's look at what Caleb was speaking of and reminding Joshua and the others in preparation here. Being ready to divide up the land, Caleb speaks up, Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 35, if you're not there already and have found this, verses 35 and 36. Surely there shall not one of these men of the evil generation see the good land which I swear to give unto your fathers, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he shall see it. And to see him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. Caleb is mentioned here again next. We see this in Joshua 14, and this is referenced back to remembering what was promised some 45 years earlier. Can I just remind you of what you already know? God doesn't ever forget. God keeps his promises. Amen? Yes? He does. Let us not lose sight of that. So not deterred by age or, air quotes here, right? Time served. I put in my time. Let the young bucks take care of things. Let the young women and the young men do the work next. Not with that attitude at all. None of this time served, I put in my time attitude that can be common and a temptation at that age. Caleb, rather, was completely satisfied with whatever the will of God was to provide in his life next. Whatever's next, Lord, I'm ready. You are always faithful. You call me to be faithful. I have nothing to lose and everything to gain to be faithful to you here and now. What's next? Let's go. This guy's a champion, isn't he? What a blessing of an example. Don't miss Caleb's humble heart in all of this. This is not an arrogance here at all. If you look at Joshua, come over to Joshua and go to that account. So I'm going to pick up in Joshua 14. And I want you to see this characteristic of his heart's attitude. He was humble. There was humility in this. Joshua 14, beginning in verse 6 and following. So just follow along as I read here. Joshua 14, verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the men of God, concerning me and me in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. Verse 9. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong at this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. I love this attitude. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now. I think he's probably mostly thinking about the spirit of strength of wanting to follow the Lord. Even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Verse 12, now therefore give me this mountain wherefore the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Caleb, in his humble attitude, never lost, as Scripture shows us, he never lost his active choice to choose and trust and follow God in faithfulness. He continued to trust him. He continued to follow him. And his zeal just exuded from him before Joshua and the other leaders. Remember what God said 45 years ago? That's the same God that will do the same thing. We have nothing to be worried about. Give me a sword. I'm ready to go. Verse 8 tells us Caleb followed the Lord fully. Even in verse 10, we see that Caleb gives credit to God because his focus is on God and his promises. Not on Caleb's ability. Not on God has dealt me a set of circumstances that allow me a path to be successful, whereas sometimes he hasn't with others. No, God remained faithful, and whatever the circumstances that the Lord had walked him through and wanted him in, he was choosing to trust God now. His focus was on God's promises. Notice how at the age of 85, Caleb boldly asks for what God promised. In verses 12, 13, pick up in 13 actually, and Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. I mean, hasn't that been made clear in Scripture? How many times has it been repeated about Caleb's life? God wants us to see the essence of true faith. God wants you tonight at Calvary to see through the example of Caleb's life that faith is an action. No matter your age, no matter your stage, God is faithful. God is trustworthy. You can trust him. He does enable your faith. You can live for him now by choice. God wants you to see that through the example of Caleb. 85 years old, and Caleb boldly asks for what God promised. Folks, Caleb trusted God's word even in the face of a fierce enemy. And as a result, Joshua blesses him and gives him Hebron. Why? Again, you have this memorized by now, because he wholly followed God. He wholly followed the Lord God, the text says. Folks, we can see from Joshua chapter 15 that Caleb was personally involved in the battles to possess the land, and the Lord gave Caleb and the people victory. In fact, Joshua chapter 14 and verse 15 says, the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. This land that they were going to conquer was so well known for the evil in the land that it was named after the evil leadership. It was named after the suppressing hierarchy of control in the land. And that name was overtaken, was changed. Joshua chapter 14 and 15 ends with fitting evidence of God's reward for Caleb's faith and faithfulness, being known for who God gave the land to. You know, it's easy when we look at, it's human, it's natural, that when we look at examples in Scripture like this to take Caleb and put him way up here, right? It's really easy to do. And then we go, man, if I'm obedient, I can fall in about right here under Caleb, right? But what God is showing us in the life of Caleb, don't miss this. It's absolutely attainable by you when it comes to the very same faith in, here's the focus, the faithful God that led Caleb. Can I just tell you and remind you? You know this. I see the smiles on your faces. But God is the hero of these examples. Caleb, in a humble attitude, had no other reason but to choose to trust God in the face of unsurmountable circumstances. And Caleb was honored by God in his faith and his faithfulness. Folks, Caleb's testimony is a simple one. It is this. He trusted God. I was going to ask you, can you trust God? I'm going beyond salvific trust and faith here to daily living trust. And I know the answer. If you're a born-again believer, God gives you every ability and every reason to trust God. You can trust God. The question that begs to ask is, will you trust God? Every one of us can grow, and there's room for growth in trusting God. In his life, we see the essence of what true faith is, and that is taking God at his word. I said this last time, believing that what God says he will do, he does. We believe that. That what God says will happen will indeed happen. We believe that. That is what faith is, and that was constantly the mark of Caleb's life. If we are wise, my dad used to say this all the time, word to the wise. Friends, if we are wise, the Bible teaches us this, we will learn from the accounts of life of Caleb and others in the Old Testament. Maybe, like Caleb, you're against a lot. Maybe, like Caleb, you too can choose to take God at his word, even though it was the more difficult path to take. What are the choices you might be facing right now? Following God is a choice. I'm a born-again believer, so therefore I follow God. Following God is a choice made daily. It's a choice made often. Following God is a choice. He wants you to choose his way, trusting him. That is trusting him that it is best for you, and trusting him is best for you. Are you willing to follow God fully, to walk by faith, even if it means life is harder because of it? This is the essence of true faith. Folks, we can see a faithful man who trusted God to fulfill His promises. Trusted God to fulfill God's promises. When others allowed their fears to override their small and weak, anemic faith, we see an example of one who chose to simply just trust what God said he would do. Will you take God at his word? I think that's an appropriate call and a cry of the message and one of the applications of the testimony of Caleb. Will you take God at his word? Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would, as you have promised to do, forgive us for our distraction with the worries of this world. Forgive us when we fail to take you at your word. Forgive us when we choose to fear instead of faith. Heavenly Father, so often we trust my own understanding rather than your sovereign sufficiency. We would choose this day, I pray, each one here tonight, at whatever age, at whatever stage, wherever they are in life and whatever they're facing. Would each one choose this day to follow you fully and completely with a whole heart to seek your ways, no matter the circumstances, no matter the perceived results. Lord, we believe, but help our unbelief. In Jesus' name, amen.